Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Connie reading Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, June 18, 2020. Crime. Man accused in Sam's Club stabbing indicted. Grand jury indicts Jose Gomez on 3 hate crimes by Caitlin Randall. The man accused of stabbing an Asian family in a racially motivated attack at the Midland Sam's Club in March has been indicted by a Midland County grand jury on 3 hate crime charges, according to an indictment filed last week. Jose Gomez, 19, allegedly attempted to kill 3 family members, including 2 children under the age of 10, and assaulted a Sam's Club employee who tried to intervene during the incident on March 14th. He later told police he stabbed the family because he believed they were Chinese and infecting people with the coronavirus, according to a previous Reporter Telegram article. A grand jury indicted Gomez on June 11th on 3 counts of attempted capital murder, 1 count of aggravated assault, and 2 counts of assault on a public servant for a separate incident on March 17th. The 3 counts for attempted capital murder include Texas's version of a hate crime charge, which is an enhancement, alleging the crime was committed because of a bias or prejudice against a group. Enhancement upgrade the mandatory and maximum sentences that can be sought for a defendant. However, Gomez's charges cannot be upgraded because attempted capital murder is a first-degree felony. Attempted offenses are considered 1 degree lower than the crime committed unsuccessfully, according to Texas Penal Code. Charges for attempted capital murder can be sought against Gomez because there allegedly were multiple victims, and 2 were under the age of 10. In Texas, a murder charge can be raised to a capital murder charge if the victim is under 10 years old and if more than 1 person is killed. Gomez faces the possibility of 3 life sentences if convicted with a minimum of 5 years on each attempted capital murder charge. The Penal Code states enhancements cannot raise the sentences on first-degree felonies to capital offenses, meaning the prosecution could not seek the death penalty. The charge against Gomez for aggravated assault also received an enhancement because he allegedly used a knife during the assault. Aggravated assault charges can have attached enhancements in cases where a deadly weapon is used to commit the assault, according to the Penal Code. That could upgrade the charge from a second-degree felony to a first-degree felony. The 2 counts of assault on a public service stem from an incident 3 days after the Sam's Club stabbing, when Gomez allegedly assaulted 2 jailers at the Midland County Detention Center, according to his indictment. Those charges are third-degree felonies with a minimum 10-year sentence for each count. Gomez is currently being held at the Midland County Detention Center on $1 million bond. Education. MISD Board begins to update governance plan by Stuart Doran. In early 2017, the Midland ISD Board and teaching staff, working with the Texas Education Agency, put the final touches on its Lone Star Governance Plan. The purpose of the Lone Star Governance, according to the TEA, is to provide coaching and support through a continuous improvement framework for school governing teams that choose and commit to intensively focus on the objective to improve student outcomes. Midland ISD had issues with student outcomes heading into calendar year 2017. Lone Star governance was put into place to help improve those outcomes. This week, Midland ISD leaders reviewed its governance in advance of the 2021 school year and beyond. District staff told board members that updating the plan requires actions such as new goal progress measures and constraint progress measures. Setting goals and then abiding by specific actions to reach those goals are part of the governance program. The Texas Education Agency defines goal monitoring as the process of monitoring adherence to or progress toward the board's adopted student outcome goals. The TEA also states that no fewer than 50% of the minute spent in board-authorized public meetings should be invested in goal monitoring or goal setting. Constraints are specific operational actions that are not used or allowed and are aligned with the vision and grounded in community values, according to the TEA. Constraint progress measures are specific graph-plotted indicators used to determine if the constraint is likely to be honored or not. This week's meeting began the next chapter of Lone Star governance. More meetings are expected as board members and staff make final decisions on specifics. They might wait until September to finalize a 5-year plan. Officials want to see the results of testing at the beginning of the 2020-21 school year to determine where students stand after being off campus for about 5 months. There are differences in goal progress measures for this 5-year period and the first 3-year period for 2017 to 2020. Board members and staff said that, in retrospect, the goals established by an earlier board were a stretch, and there was a discussion about whether goals should be attainable. For instance, in February, the Reporter-Telegram reported that the percentage of students in kindergarten through second grade trailed different reading goals that had been set in 2017. In April, the district showed difficulty reaching passage rates of all students in grades 3 through 8 in reading and math, GPM 2.1. The passage rates of economically disadvantaged students 2.2 and ability to master grade level 2.3. The district had its most success with goal progress measures 3.1 and 3.2. The success rate of those passing high school algebra by the end of the freshman year, 3.1, and the percentage of first-year freshmen earning 6 or more credits. Jill Rivera, Executive Director of Professional Development, told board members during the meeting that the new goal progress measures drafted seem to be more realistic and that leadership still feels like there are high expectations. There was a conversation about setting goals that require a change in adult behavior when necessary in order to get students to where they need to be and that help Midland ISD close the gap between the district and state average, when applicable. The following is a first draft of Midland ISD goals for its next Lone Star Governance Report. The Reporter Telegram will have a complete list of goals, goal progress measures, GPMs, constraints and constraint progress measures, CPMs, in a future edition. Goal 1. The percentage of second grade students on track to read at grade level or above will increase from 75% to 85% by August 2025, measured with an assessment such as iStation. 2019 year end of year 75%. Yearly targets for the year 2021, 77%. Year 2022, 79%. Year 2023, 81%. Year 2024, 83%. Year 2025, 85%. Goal 2. All 3rd through 8th grade students scoring at the meets level or above on both STAR reading and math will increase from 25% to 45% by August 2025. 2019 end of year, 25%. Yearly targets, year 2021, 29%. Year 2022, 32%. Year 2023, 35%. Year 2024, 40%. Year 2025, 45%. Goal 3. The 4-year graduation rate will increase from 89.7% for the graduating class of 2019, reported in November 2020, to 95% for the graduating class of 2025, reported in November 2026. Yearly targets for the year 2021 is 93%. For the year 2022 is 93.5%. For the year 2023, it's 94%. For the year 2024, is 94.5%, and finally 2025 is 95%. Religion. Bill Park event caps 100 days of live-streamed services. Stanton Youth Minister began his praise and worship while he was quarantined. By Melanie Nicholas. In March, Albert Hall, the music and youth minister at First Baptist Church in Stanton, was quarantined for 14 days after traveling to Spain on a mission trip. The self-described people person knew he was going to need a project to keep busy and connected during his time at home. With a little ingenuity and his piano, he started a nightly praise music worship service on Facebook Live. Hundreds of people from across the Permian Basin and then the world started to tune in. Hall said he planned to stop the service after his quarantine ended. He needed to get back to work and his family. But things didn't work out quite the way he planned. Evening worship had begun to take on a life of its own. No one is more surprised than Hall. "We are coming up on 100 days of worship. Can you believe we have been doing it this long?" he said. Hall described evening worship's growth as God-led and spontaneous. Hall began to sing from other places and from other people's homes. Other musicians and singers joined in. The message of hope resonated with people during the pandemic. "I have literally gotten phone call after phone call, message after message, of people being encouraged," he said. "People in Texas, Oklahoma, Washington, Africa, Spain, Australia, and the Netherlands have reached out to him to thank him for his ministry. It's been awesome." Sunday will be the 100th day of Hall's music worship. He said he knew he wanted to do something special to mark the date, an outdoor event in which people could come together in praise. Hall is not unaware of God's perfect timing. "How great is it to worship our Father on Father's Day?" Special guests for the free event planned for 7 to 10 p.m. at Bill Park are Midland Praise Group's Free to Worship and Pursuit, Corey and Misha Norris, and Ninja Warrior Jared Greer, who will be bringing his faith-based motivational message. There will be a full band with piano, drums, and guitars. Hall will be joined by his sons, Landon 12 and Joshua 9. Hall said he hopes his children have learned something from him during this time. "Throughout this whole thing, I hope my boys have been consistent with faith. When you say you are going to do something, you do it. Faith is, I don't know how it's going to be done, but it's going to be done. If God has led me there, He is going to make the provision." Hall said the 100th will be the last night of consecutive worship services. He will be focusing on something equally momentous, though. He and his fiancée, Joy Boyd, are getting married on August 1st. "We had to move it back due to COVID. But we are pushing through with this one regardless."
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, June 18, 2020. Kindergarten registration is online. Midland ISD's kindergarten roundup is underway, and for the first time, the process will take place entirely online, according to a press release from the district. Parents may register their child for kindergarten at midlandisd.net/enroll. They will be guided through the process, which includes creating a family account on Skyward, where registration will take place. The following documents will need to be uploaded: birth certificate, shot record, social security card, and proof of residence, such as a copy of lease or recent utility bill. Each elementary school has a video on its website to introduce parents and students to the campus, according to the release. Kindergarten registration is separate from our pre-K application process, which must be completed via Apply Midland, midlandisd.net/apply. For more information, call the school, email familyaccesshelp@midlandisd.net, or call the Office of Student Data Systems at 240-1250. City pools open on alternate days. Doug Russell Pool and Washington Family Aquatic Center are open, but because of staffing and coronavirus limitations, are operating on alternate days. Russell will be open Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Washington will be open Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Both pools will be closed on Mondays for maintenance and training. Entry passes, which are $3, will be sold for 3-hour sessions. They go on sale at the pool 30 minutes before the posted opening times and are good only for the day of purchase. Punch cards will not be sold this year. Because of staffing limitations and coronavirus precautions, there won't be private parties, lap swim times, swimming lessons, or family nights. Pool furniture will be removed from both pools, but swimmers will be allowed to bring chairs. The schedule is Washington, noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. Wednesday and Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. and 5 to 8 p.m. Sunday, Doug Russell, noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Grocery store hours during coronavirus. United Supermarkets, formerly Albertsons Markets, 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. For shoppers 60+, 7 to 9 a.m. Monday and Thursday. For shoppers 60+, 7 to 9 a.m. Tuesday and Thursday. HEB, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Customers 60+. Orders can be called in 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 833-397-0080. Groceries will be delivered by Favor Delivery. For more information, go to newsroom.heb.com. Market Street, 6 a.m. to midnight. For shoppers 60+, 7 to 9 a.m. Monday and Thursday. Walmart, 7 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. 7 to 8 a.m. curbside delivery pickup for first responders and customers 60+, with disabilities or at risk. Today in Texas history. In 1971, Southwest Airlines began operations with flights between Dallas and San Antonio and Dallas and Houston. 5 years ago, the Supreme Court upheld Texas's refusal to issue a license plate bearing the Confederate battle flag. Today in history, today's highlight. On June 18, 1983, astronaut Sally K. Ride became America's first woman in space as she and four colleagues blasted off aboard the space shuttle Challenger on a 6-day mission.
Day at the Park. The caption reads, children play at Hill Park on Monday morning at the Moms Club of Midland came together for a morning out of the house. Obituaries. Brent Rushing. Brent Rushing, 34, of Lake Jackson, Texas, passed away from this earth to his heavenly home on Friday, June 12, 2020. A visitation will be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Thursday, June 18, 2020, at Nayley Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. Funeral service will be at 2 p.m. Friday, June 19, 2020, at Nayley Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Interment will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Brent Rushing was born on October 22, 1985, in Midland, Texas. Brent was the son of Mark and Susie Rushing and Lenita and Michael Newberry. Brent grew up in Midland and graduated from Greenwood High School. Brent was happily married to Nicole Sorrell on July 4, 2015. Brent was a loving husband and a wonderful father. He was a kind and caring person and was loved by all of his friends and family. Brent is survived by his wife, Nicole Rushing, children, Michaela Sanders, Kira Rushing, Caleb Rushing, and stepson, Brandon Sorrell. Arrangements are under the direction of Nailey Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.mpwelch.com. James J. Edward Cheney III. James J. Edward Cheney III, age 43, of Midland, Texas, passed away on June 13, 2020, in Midland. Funeral services will be held at 2 p.m. Thursday, June 18, 2020, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home with the Associate Minister Paula Brooks of First Christian Church of Midland officiating. For those wishing to attend the service, please be aware that masks are required due to family medical conditions. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens. James J. was born at RAF Lincoln Heath, England, on July 28, 1976. He attended schools in Hobbs, New Mexico, and Lubbock, Texas. He worked as a lease operator for Pioneer Resources. James J. served in the Marine Corps. He was a loving son, daddy, papa, brother, grandson, Uncle Hulk, and a loyal, fun-loving friend to all who knew him. James J. is preceded in death by his peepaw, Jim McWilliams, grandparents Lloyd and Sue Schenck, and Mama and Papa James Cheney Sr., and great-grandmother Faye Phillips. James J. is survived by his son, PFC Jared Cheney, daughter Kayla Cheney, daughter Addison Cheney, and mother Sarah, sister and brother-in-law Kimberly and Scott Bollinger, nephew Sebastian Bollinger, parents Steve and Vicki Schenck, grandmother Peggy McWilliams, and numerous uncles, aunts, cousins, and friends. Memorials may be given to the American Heart Association. The family of James Edward Cheney wishes to extend our sincere thanks to all our family and friends for their prayers and support. Mopar Octane Car Club, Combat Veteran Motorcycle Association, and the VFW. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send family condolences, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Patrick Mark Etheridge. Patrick Mark Etheridge passed away June 14, 2020, in Monahans, Texas. Mark was born May 6, 1957, to Velma and Joe Etheridge in Kermit, Texas. He graduated from Kermit High School in 1975 and went on to attend Odessa College and Angelo State University. Mark married the love of his life, Liz Baucom Hawthorne, on August 1, 1992, in Monahans, Texas. Mark dedicated over 40 years to a career with Energy Transfer and developed many lifelong friendships along the way. He retired in May 2019. Preceded in death by his father, Joe Etheridge, Mark is survived by his wife, Liz, his son, Patrick, and Lundy Hawthorne, and their children, Maya, Kaysen, Harper, and Hazley Hawthorne of Monahans, mother, Velma Etheridge of Kermit, sisters, Joni Pearson of Kermit, and Ann and Sid Sullinger of Mertzen, brother, Todd and Joanne Etheridge of Coleman, Texas, in-laws, Pam and Tom Payton of Sonora, Les and Margaret Baucom of Monahans, friend Cody Bear Jimenez, and numerous special nieces, nephews, aunts, and cousins. The memorial service will be a private family celebration of life. Memorials may be sent to your favorite charity. Reverend Arturo Pena. Reverend Arturo Pena of Midland, Texas, was born on March 27, 1953, in Alice, Texas, and went to rest on June 13, 2020. He is survived by his wife, Gloria Pena, and a granddaughter, Brianna Hernandez, whom they raised as their own. He worked in the oil field industry for many years and was blessed to be a pastor for more than 35 years. He enjoyed preaching to anyone he encountered and especially loved camping and traveling with his grandchildren. He will be missed by his lovely wife, all 9 of his grandchildren, 3 brothers, and 8 sisters, and many more. Funeral services will be held on Thursday, June 18th at 10 a.m. at Jackie Warren Funeral Home, with visitation Wednesday, June 17th from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. William Ridgely Day. William Ridgely Day passed on to his next life early Saturday, June 13, 2020, at the age of 27. He entered this world as a bouncing boy on September 12, 1992, in Odessa, Texas, to Kathy Clark Day and Bill Day. He completed all of his schooling in Odessa, graduating from Permian High School in 2011. He entered Marine Boot Camp June of that year and served his country as a proud Marine, where he was known as Day Day. He was discharged on May of 2018. Ridgely was baptized as a teen. He is survived by his loving girlfriend, Erin Willis, of Odessa, mother, Kathy Clark, and Rob Hale of Andrews, father, Bill Day and Carrie of Odessa, brother, Skylar Blackman and Hannah Holt of Midland, brother, Carl Elliott and Lori of Midland, sister, Haley Boggs and Jarrett of San Angelo, brother, Robert Elliott of Lakeway, brother, Dylan Bradley of San Antonio, Meemaw Teresa Clark of Midland, Granny Terry Calhoun of Brownwood, Grandpa Donnie Day of Andrews, Meemaw Judy Norman of Towel, Aunt Christy and Rusty of Eubank of Odessa, Aunt Cindy and John Barkley of Midland, Aunt Michelle Wheeler and Jason Nelson of Odessa, Uncle Marshall Day and Melissa of Stanton, Aunt Jaylene Ballard of Odessa, Uncle Derek Robertson and Tracy of Midland, Uncle Billy Robinson and Christy of Dallas, Uncle Vaughn Norman of Odessa, as well as numerous cousins, nieces, nephews, and fellow Marine family. He is preceded in death by his grandpa, Quay B. Clark, Jr., Gramps James Calhoun, Papa Jerry Norman, great-grandfather Papa Williams Buchanan, and great-grandmother Nanny Judge Wilma Clark. Memorial services will be 10 o'clock on a.m. Saturday, June 20th, 2020 at Rolling Sevens Ranch Event Center, 11700 West County Road, 122 Odessa, Texas, near the airport, with ministers Steve Kinsley and Les Boone presiding. Arrangements are under the care of Shafford Nicholas Funeral Home of Crane. Ridgely's family would like to thank every one of you who have called, sent messages, visited in person, told stories, provided emotional support, delivered food and other items, and especially offered your prayers. We would like to extend a very special thanks to Sean and Kelly Harper for graciously donating the venue to honor Ridgely. He was an amazing man who had a boisterous laugh, a loving personality, and the biggest heart. He loved his family, friends, and fellow Marines fiercely, and he will be truly missed by them all. Simplify. In lieu of flowers, please support Irreverent Warriors or Mission 22 for Veteran PTSD and Suicide Prevention. Many new cases in Ector County are people under 35, by J.C. Lewis. Ector County Health Department reported 16 new cases of coronavirus on Wednesday, making the total 291. 14 of the 16 new cases are people under the age of 35. People 30 to 39 comprise 68 total cases, and people 20 to 29 comprise 62 cases. Note, ECHD had a mistake on the website's case information page. The website reported the total number was 289 instead of 291. Ector County's probable cases have passed 100, with the county reporting 109 probable cases as of Wednesday. A probable case is defined as meeting clinical criteria and epidemiological evidence with no confirmatory laboratory performed for coronavirus. The county reported 4,108 tests have been taken, with 3,652 negative results and 167 pending tests. ECHD has contacted 2,411 people through contact tracing. Of those, 457 people have been referred for testing, and 59 tests have come back positive. Many of the people who are new cases are showing mild symptoms, and the health department in a press release stressed the importance of wearing masks and washing hands. Some people may not have any symptoms, but are able to pass the virus to others, many of whom will recover without any problem, according to the release.
Hello, this is Michael. I'm reading the first article from the Odessa American, Thursday, June 18th, 2020. Parents Want More Youth Football Fields, by Michael Bauer. For parent Alice Flores, the lack of playing fields for Odessa's youth football league has been an area of concern, and she's hoping that an online petition can change that. According to the petition, currently there are no youth football fields for public or youth use. So far, 264 people have signed the petition as of Tuesday afternoon. Flores hopes to get 1,000 signatures. According to the petition, practices are held at parks with permission from the city. However, most of the games are held in Midland. Our home games are in Midland, Flores said. We pay to play in Midland. We shop in Midland. We put gas in Midland. With all that money that we invest in the city of Midland, a field could have already been built here. It cost over $3,000 to use the side fields at Ratliff. It's $720 to use Crockett Middle School. And guess what? We can't use Crockett Middle School because middle school games are going to be on Saturdays. Flores said part of the problem has been due to the parks also being used by the Odessa Youth Soccer Association. To use a park, for example, Salinas Park used to be just for football, Flores said. Well, something happened with the Soccer Association. They wanted it to be soccer. If you look at the parks and recreation layout, there's only a small section for football. Each team has four divisions, which is a flag, rookies, juniors, and seniors. Each team can have up to 20 kids. Those sections are too small. We asked the Parks Department if we could use the park behind Ector Middle School. Well, apparently, it's subleased to Odessa Soccer Association. They have over 30 fields. Now, there have been teams from all over the country coming over to play Permian in football. You don't see that in soccer, and you don't see that in baseball. According to the Odessa Soccer Association president, Tom Martinez, the city of Odessa and the Soccer League have a facility use agreement for the fields owned by the city. We've been involved with this since, I guess, the early 80s. Our facility agreement is renewed every year because our programs continue to grow, because we have X number of kids and we have more kids every single season. So we keep everything that they've allowed us to use year in and year out, Martinez said. Flores added that this year, due to a bus driver shortage, the middle school football games will be held on Saturdays, which means the youth football organization teams will be played on late Saturday or possibly Sunday. We as football parents understand that they can't just cater to football, and we get that, Flores said. But we have talked to the Parks and Recreation Department. We have two dog parks before we have something for our boys and girls. We've had teams from our leagues who have made it to the state for youth football. It's so hard to get to use these parks for football. Permian Basin Youth Football League President Matt Laudermilk said that the site for this year's games is still to be determined, but that it would likely take place again in Midland. In years past, we've played at Crockett and Nimitz Middle School, Laudermilk said. We played some at the side fields at Permian, and we played games at Grande and Midland Christian. We've even had some games at Midland Lee Freshman. This year, it's looking like Grande, maybe Midland Christian, and we're hoping to maybe use the fields over at Scarborough Sports Complex in Midland, along with the GMFL. We haven't in the past, but we're hoping that's changing. Laudermilk said other fields in the past have been touch and go, including Wilson and Young and Ector Middle School. Ector's been a touch-and-go deal, Loudermilk said. Sometimes we can use it, and sometimes we can't. Wilson and Young, the practice field is not in the best condition, and we don't want to risk any injuries. We'd like to use it if it were more kept up, but I understand that's not a priority at this point with all of the things going on. Wilson and Young's fields are crap, Flores said. They're not turf. We're going to expose our kids to getting hurt because we don't have one decent field in a town that calls itself home to Friday Night Lights. Loudermilk said they won't get confirmation on where they'll play until closer to August. That's when the schools tell us what fields are going to be available and what dates are available. Flores has been in talks with members from the city. I've talked to some commissioners, and I've talked to a few council members, and I don't think it's fair that these kids here have to go to Midland to play, Flores said. I've told these people that they're losing money every time we go to Midland.
Board talks sensitivity training. OA News at OAOA.com. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees took up several items, including compensation, the budget, accepting the resignation of Trustee Doyle Woodall, and hearing from State Representative Brooks Landgraf, R. Odessa, about legislative funding challenges in the 2021 legislative session. Trustee Nelson Minyard was absent. The board also voted 5-0 to approve a contract services agreement with the Harvard Graduate School of Education and the Center for Education Policy Research. Woodall had come under fire for Facebook posts that were offensive to some. Options trustees will most likely take are leaving the position vacant or appointing someone. Board member Steve Brown asked if a survey could be conducted in position 4, which Woodall served, to see what option constituents would want. Trustee Carol Gregg said the public has asked the district to undergo sensitivity training. She added that the district needs to reestablish trust with a significant part of the community, and she thinks it is important to take steps to do that. Board member Donna Smith said she agreed with Gregg 100% and would like to schedule training. District administrators also were asked to set up equity training, the board recap said. Gregg said she wants to discuss and decide on an option during the first meeting in July. The board also voted 5-0 to approve the 2020-2021 compensation plan. The board recap states the highlights are: employees will receive a 2% of midpoint cost of living adjustment plus equity adjustments where applicable to bring employees to 90% of market pay as identified by a Texas Association of School Board salary study. Teachers, librarians, and nurses, RN, will receive a $1,200 cost of living adjustment. The starting teacher salary will be adjusted to $54,250, up $2,250 from the 2019-20 salary schedule. Teachers at steps 1 through 12 will receive additional adjustments to create equity with the starting pay. Adjustments for this group of employees constitutes approximately 51% of all salary adjustments. The board had asked the administration to prioritize additional adjustments to hourly employees. Employees on these salary schedules will receive an adjustment above the 2%, ranging from 4% to 5%. Starting salaries will increase, and adjustments will be made to current employees based on that adjustment. Adjustments for this group of employees constitutes approximately 31% of all salary adjustments. In addition to salary and the noted salary adjustments, employees will receive an additional $4,560 per year in medical insurance benefits. There will be no increases to insurance premiums. Deputy Superintendent Stephanie Howard said when the pay raises take effect will depend on the employees' contracts. The agreement with Harvard is for 2 years through the Strategic Data Partnership Grant. The arrangement, which required ECISD to apply and be selected, matches the district with one Harvard Data Fellow who is also supported by a team at Harvard. The recap says the fellow will bring high-quality research methods, conduct high-quality analysis of data and its impact on ECISD's success, facilitate strategic use of data, and provide analytic support regarding district priorities and pressing issues, the recap said. On a separate item, Associate Superintendent of Curriculum and Instruction Lilia Nanez discussed the academic calendar for next year. School will start August 12th, and 11 instructional days will be added. Nanez said it does not affect the teacher calendar. Nanez said research has shown that the pandemic and school closures have had an adverse effect on children, particularly in math. Nanez said there will be 180 instructional days, and the district will qualify for state funding for an additional 30 days of instruction for elementary students at the end of the year. Those days will be optional for students and staff. After a public hearing, the board approved a $307 million general fund. The board discussed equity funding for schools. Greg said it looked like the schools that were rated D and F under state standards were getting less money this year. Superintendent Scott Murray said the funding was tied to the students of poverty, special education students, and English learners, wherever they happened to be. The discrepancy was due to amounts presented last year, but officials said the schools in need were getting more funding. Julia Willett Weekly, Executive Director of Federal and State Programs, said federal funding is coming. The planning amount for Title I is $6,500,000. For Title I, a little more than $5 million is expected from the CARES Act, $750,000 to $800,000 for Title II, Title III about $600,000, Title IV, close to $500,000. The board also approved hiring Jaime Miller as Executive Director of Curriculum and Instruction, Executive Director of Special Services Leslie Wilson, Executive Director of Student and School Support Robin Garcia, and Paula Danheim as Principal of Hayes STEAM Academy. She was the Assistant Principal. The board also approved a $424,193 bid from Onyx General Contractors to build a restroom at the Permian High School baseball field. Porta-potties were brought to the field for games. Officials said the cost is being driven by utilities. Plans also are to provide water to the concession stand. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County confirmed cases, 289. Ector County negative, 3,652 out of 4,108 tested, with 167 pending, 7 deaths. Midland County, 238 confirmed, 13 deaths. Texas, 96,335 confirmed, with 1,560,537 tested. Total Texas deaths, 2,062. U.S. cases, 2,132,329 total confirmed, and 116,862 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/tztrjlf. Quick hits. Funny car chaos. Pinwell Knights Raceway at Caprock Motorplex South Farm Road 1601, Pinwell, has scheduled Funny Car Chaos as a part of 2020 Championship Tour Friday and Saturday. Friday, gates open at noon for racers and 3 p.m. for spectators. Funny Car Qualifying plus Test and Tune, Slicks / Radials only. Saturday, gates open at noon for racers and 2 p.m. for spectators. Main event. Funny Car Final Qualifying is at 6 p.m. Small Tire Gassers Index between rounds of FC Funny Car Eliminations at 8 p.m. For tickets and more information, visit tinyurl.com/y78cw3v3. Wonder Girls. The Crisis Center of West Texas has scheduled Wonder Girls 2020 Empowerment Online from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. June 29th. The camp includes 5 weeks of online activities, coding, science projects, creative projects, CCWTX lessons, and more. Wonder Girls is free for attendees. Wonder Girls is designed for rising 5th through 8th grade girls who are entering the fall school season. Other kids are welcome to follow along with the activities, but supplies are available for eligible girls in the Permian Basin. Every Wednesday in July, CCWTX will release a new set of activities. The application deadline is 6 p.m. June 19th. To register, visit bit.ly/WG2020-apply. Donations of $25 are being accepted to help provide a set of camp supplies for an additional Wonder Girl and supports prevention education efforts year-round. To donate, visit bit.ly/WG2020-donate. For more information, call 333-2527. Email Prevention Services Director Elizabeth Texera at elizabeth@ccwtx.org or visit tinyurl.com/y9rfvmow or ccwtx.org/Wonder Girls. Outdoor fun. Top. From left, 11-year-old Shauna Rivas knocks over her brother, 7-year-old Armoni Rivas, while they play with inflatable bumper balls at Floyd Gwynn Park on Tuesday afternoon. It's a good week for outdoor fun, but a bit warm. Wednesday's high was 97, and today's high is expected at 100. Above, the Rivas family play under an awning at Floyd Gwynn Park on Tuesday afternoon, shortly before preparing for a Nerf war. Right, from left, cousins 14-year-old Nayeli Rivas and 7-year-old John Paul Rivas watch as 11-year-old Shauna Rivas and 13-year-old Jocelyn Rivas try to knock each other down with inflatable bumper balls. Photos by Eli Hartman, Odessa American.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.